KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack. I am Joe, and with me, as always, Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing this fine evening, good sir?
Doing quite well. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. With us this evening, we brought along some rapscallions to, make the show a little more interesting this week.
Heavy on the rap.
But... Yeah. Closer to the mic. Closer. You got to get closer when you want to talk.
The mics are very directional.
Yes.
All right.
We have Super Jason and Jen.
Hello.
Achievement unlocked, almost hitting Jen in the face with the mic. There you have it. All right. Yes, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. And, we've got, I think, an interesting show tonight. Typical news that we like to bring you. Mm-hmm. We've got, I assume, a Caleb's Corner this week, hopefully.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. I don't have to go back and edit that out later. Blank is about something,
Nope, there'll be something today.
Sweet. And of course, I got some entertainment news for everybody. And we also have something special for the show this week. We have actually an interview that this place called Radio Flag did with some of the stars from the film Identity Thief.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be playing that interview later on in the show. And stick around, check that out. And in our core this week, we will be discussing, there's been news and rumors of standalone Star Wars films. So we're going to tackle that and see if we like that, we don't like that, who and what they should be tackling. And if we have time, we'll discuss an Xbox Live Arcade title, I believe also for the PS Network as well.
Probably.
Called Skulls of the Shogun, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that will be the show for this week. But before we get to that, I already asked Caleb how he's doing. But anything sort of exciting pop out? You could do anything or? How are those job leads coming along? Any more? Any?
They're coming along.
Still pumping them out.
Still trying to make something happen there. Did get a reply email today from
one,
so that's good.
Cool,
it's a nice change of pace. that's going smoothly.
Okay,
as smoothly as it can.
Yeah. Have you gotten the chance to see anything or play anything or?
Let's see. Not too much. I stepped back from my inundation of Borderlands 2 to play a little bit of Assassin's Creed, just change pace a little bit.
Okay.
It's been nice to play something else. Not that there's anything wrong with Borderlands 2, I just realized I was kind of on a binge. I need to start filtering it just a little bit.
Cleanse the palate of
yes.
the Borderlands 2.
From wanton destruction to assassination, always a good
change up. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little more methodical gameplay. you can approach a situation without having to go guns blazing,
that's
so to speak.
True. More method, less madness.
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with madness, but every so often it's good
closer
to chant.
Closer to the mic. Sorry. Just, you have to. All right, cool. Well, sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Closer to the Mic, Super Jason, how about yourself? What have you been up to?
I ended up picking up the new Dead Space 3 game, and I'm super excited about it. Really, really impressed with little graphical things and extra little bits of gameplay that they added and tweaks from the previous ones. that make me gleeful.
Right on.
Nice, nice. Jen, how about yourself?
Unfortunately, I was sick for most of the week, so...
Fun! Yeah. That's so, always fun.
Yeah, I was playing a lot of the games I already have, spending a lot of time on Outland, which is an arcade title, and, of course, Borderlands 2, and that was really about it. I spent a lot of time sleeping.
Which is good when you're sick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, the Outland, is that the one where you can actually change the... what your like orientation is so that there's blue and red and
yes.
you can swap between them to absorb or create extra damage, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Ah.
Yeah, it's got some high ratings on it. I think it was 9 out of 10 for Game Informant, I think it was. I could be wrong on that. I should double check. But yeah, it says right on there. It's got some pretty high reviews. I really enjoyed it. I think it's got some good replay value because it does have areas where you need certain abilities to get all the way through. So I really enjoyed it. I think it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Sounds good.
Mm.
Alrighty. Well,
how about you? You had some projects on the back burner also.
Yeah. Kind of in the same boat, you know, just, trying to get a resume, cover letter, all that stuff done mm-hmm. and wrapped up. Both of the sample scripts I was working on and now like working on just a silly video for my YouTube page to, you know, keep practicing the old editing
there
stuff.
You go.
So hopefully that one will be done soon and people can watch it and say that was a complete waste of time. All right. So, you know, 'cause that's my goal is to waste your time.
Nah, so. It's entertainment. It's entertainment.
That's
it's
second. Entertainment. I wanted to go, that was a waste of time. Yes. Achievement unlocked.
Candy Mountain. That's what you call a waste of time.
Yeah, though, I did see this bizarre video today that ThinkGeek linked to. It was.
Oh, I saw that.
It was a recreation of a Jane Fonda video, but with poodles.
Okay.
It was
bizarre.
Bizarre. Like.
Like one of her workout videos?
Yes,
or?
One of our workout videos. Right. And like it's a word for word, like they redid everything, but they just had people in costumes and they like superimposed poodle heads on top of them. And then the lead person was wearing a costume that had little like pom-poms around her joints, so she looked like a poodle also.
Wow.
It was,
but it was flesh colored. That was like it was creepy.
Yeah. It was bizarre and sort of awesome all at the same time. It was just like a mind warp. Like, what did I just watch?
Huh. Maybe we can try linking that in our Facebook page. So
yeah,
people don't know what we're talking about can check it out. Want to see?
Definitely. I'll check. I'll look for it.
Well, I think should we move on to the new releases of this week?
Sure.
Okay. Well, in the theaters, we've got. Identity Thief, which sort of a big shock with you know, the review that or the interview that we're playing later, so that sort of fits. We've got now this is the name of the movie, so don't get mad at me. Don't send me hate letters or anything like that. Midget Zombie Takeover. Then we have Lost in Thailand. We have Lore. Antiviral
brought to you by Nick Norton.
Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah. If you're a Channing Tatum fan, there's Side Effects. If you like spiders, there's Spiders 3D. And apparently Top Gun and IMAX 3D experience.
That's bizarre.
Because I totally want to see that whole volleyball scene in IMAX.
Yes.
I know you do.
Look at all those glorious grains on that film, ancient film stock.
I'm sure they touched it up.
Nothing quite like grainy nipples to cancer day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Moving on from there to Blu-rays and DVDs.
Let's see. Animaniacs Volume 4 is out.
Yay!
Yep.
Speaking of grainy nipples.
Da. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Cabaret Jinx. Is out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's the 40th anniversary edition.
Nice.
Flight hits Blu-ray and DVD.
Nice.
There's not a whole lot else. The G section is satisfactory on this list. Yeah, there's not. Ooh, Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth with Boyle Moyers on DVD.
All right.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah, no, that's about it for the moment.
Okay, shall I move on to video games?
Please do.
Okay. Slightly more interesting titles this week. As Super Jason mentioned, Dead Space 3 is available.
Yay!
Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time. We have Fire Emblem Awakening. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Dragonborn for the PC.
Boo.
We have Fist of the North Star, Ken's Rage 2. Let's see. Special Forces Team X for the Xbox Arcade and PC. There's Dungeon Lore PC. For the Wii, there's We Sing 80s.
Yes, we do.
And yeah, that's probably all.
I think they're just
going to
end up being Rickrolled. It's just one track over and over.
Just Rick Astley. I think it was his birthday this week too. Or
yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, I believe so.
Never going to give him up. So, never moving on from from those games to the land of comic books.
Yes. And while that list loads, I'm going to jump down to the webcomic of the suggestion, which is Nimona. It's a comic about a supervillain and his sidekick, a shape-shifting girl. It's also got lots of mad science conspiracies and, above all, splendid characters. And I can't love the art more. It's really cool. So, let's see. DC and Marvel, they're always... I'm sure there's going to be another Marvel now worth looking at because...
No!
They, like, have sort of, they, for a while, they were doing, like, a release, a new release a week. It was obscene.
Okay.
So, there's probably, let's see. DC, I'm going to go with Animal Man number 17. It's still really solid writing. And Ferrest number 12. This is a mature reader's book, so not for the kiddos.
Okay.
Save Ferrest. Sorry, couldn't resist.
Boy, for someone who thought, well, I'll just come and hang out in the background. Boy,
she's really hanging out in the background.
Yeah.
Can't even hear you back there. What's that? Let's see. Over on Marvel, there's a new Daredevil End of Days number 5.
Okay.
Hit Girl number 5. Also, Hit Girl is another mature readers. It is
yeah.
If you saw if you've seen any of the other guys, the others that relate to this, yeah, not for the faint of heart. And let's see, over on the indie side, let's pull up Debris. Oh no, I Love Trouble number 3, another mature readers, but it's interesting spin on superheroes. Let's see.
Dang, you're being very mature today.
Sometimes. Let's see. And there's new Turtles Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ongoing number 18.
Squee.
Always good.
Reminds me, I need to buy a T-shirt right now.
Let's see. There's a new Hellboy series called Hellboy in Hell. Number 3 is the newest one, and they just also has a second printing of number 2. So
who's the artist on it?
I'd have to check. Let me look that up real quick. I don't think it's Mignola this time. He's kind of moved into more of a producer's role for these. Dave Stewart is a cover artist. Oh, he is doing the writing and the art for this particular one. So
oh, cool.
So there you go. That should keep you keep your stacks happy for a while.
Nice. And as always, these are just some of the comics, yes, and movies and things that have released this week there. So, you know, feel free to check out whatever you would like to. These mm-hmm. are just some of the things that we... If we tried to list everything, it would fill like our whole show, and
yeah, we'd be here really way too long. Yeah.
So, So yeah, well, on that note, we'll take a quick music break and then we'll come back with the news. Anything you'd like to tease the audience with?
Let's see, in the news, have you ever felt that your smartphone case could be as smart as your phone? Mm. Or you wished it would be as smart as your phone?
That could be cool.
There's a possibility for that in the future.
That's okay. Too scary for me.
It's not quite as smart, but it's a nice compliment to the smartness of your phone. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that's better.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, before we hit that music, why don't you tell the audience how they can participate on the show?
That's right.
We like it when you do.
We appreciate you, our listeners, and we like it when you talk back to us. So if you want to find us on the social networks, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. We should be near the top of that search. Then there is our Twitter account, which is Robots Attack Me. And finally, there is the old tried and true email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, if all of that's just a little bit too much to keep in mind right now, just remember robotsattack.me. That has our show notes, archive episodes, and if you press the interact button, links to all the places I have just described on the internet so you can communicate with us without having to remember all of it at once.
It's one-stop shopping for getting yourself attacked by robots.
Indeed, indeed.
Yakety yak, please talk back.
Nice.
Robotsattack.me.
Alrighty. We'll be right back with the news after this music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News. Okay, to start us off, we have a story via Gizmodo about an exploding bot.
Well, kaboom!
Not quite in the normal sort of way. It's kind of an interesting bit of technology. It's made completely, well, almost completely of silicon. It only has three legs, and it has tubes in it that feed methane and oxygen so that little tiny explosions will actually move the legs. So it effectively only jumps.
Uh-huh.
But it jumps extremely well because of it.
Yeah,
it can end up turning into a whole new version of musculature for future robots and so on. And it's kind of an interesting technique for movement in general because you're really only limited by how big of a testing facility you have. Technically, you can make the thing as big as you want as long as it's tough enough to withstand the explosions.
That's actually pretty cool.
I know, that's why I chose it.
That can make for some very interesting applications, like if you needed to get cables up to a tall height, just make the robot jump it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really hope it ends up becoming like a much better or bigger technology, and it's neat seeing more interesting ideas, thinking outside of the box and that sort of thing.
Definitely, definitely. Right on. Well, from outside of the box to surrounding your box, I bring you the Endless Smart Case, and that's ELNDLIS, Smart Case. This is a case for a smartphone. Looks like it's currently designed for the iPhone. It comes with a 1500 milliamp battery. Now you might be asking yourself, why would you need a battery for your case? Well, this one has a bunch of LEDs in the back of it that when you get notifications from, say, your social network or from a text message or one of your other social networks, email, what have you, it will display the icon for that network on the back of it.
That's really cool.
Or, you know, something very close to it, like they have here they have a picture of it doing the Facebook symbol, and it's like, oh, it's not the most, It's not the
dazzling
coolest.
Or anything. It's just to get the point across.
It's the point across in it, but I think it's pretty clever because then like you're if like some people like to put their phones face down, which is kind of to keep them from being too much of a distraction.
Mm.
And this would be a way to sort of see what's going on without having to pick it up. Go, oh, what's going on? You can just like Facebook. I don't really want to check that right now. Twitter. No, I don't care. Email. Oh, actually, I'm waiting for an email from whoever. Check that. You know, it's a way you're kind of filtering through the direct so you get the parts you really want.
Right. Okay.
Cool. I just thought that was a pretty cool idea. It should be out in 2013, later this year. It was shown off at CES, so pretty rad.
Cool. Well, before I get to my story, I'm going to tell everyone about Project Sentinel. Does your landlord tell you that your children cannot play outside? If so, you have experienced housing discrimination. Children have the same rights as adults. More information is available by calling Project Sentinel at 888-324-7468. Now, my story, sort of, from your smartphone story to my smartphone story, but this one is about the human body.
Ah.
I snagged this from Yahoo News. It's human body could power smartphones, pacemakers, and other devices.
Interesting.
Imagine a world with no wall chargers. People power might just make that world a reality.
In a world.
That's because our own bodies just might be the sustainable energy sources of the near future, generating electricity from our own body heat, physical movement, and vibrations. Roger Highfield of the Science Museum Group writes that scientists are already at work on a number of such devices, with the first wave of human-powered generators hitting the market in the next 2 years. Applications would range from personal health to entertainment. For example, pacemaker batteries must be replaced every few years, but a pacemaker running off a physioelectric current could provide a permanent energy source, reducing the need for risky and expensive operations.
Sounds pretty cool to me.
The word which that I probably butchered, but piezoelectricity means to generate energy from pressure and can be derived from a number of sources, including ceramics, crystals, and even biological material such as DNA and bone. Researchers have spent years attempting to derive energy from non-traditional sources. For example, the East Japan Railway Company has experimented with using train gates to generate electricity as commuters pass through them.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, and researchers at MIT have been working on creating a crowd farm that would generate electricity from human movement in public spaces. University of Wisconsin-Madison Associate Professor Tom Krupenkin told Highfield that placing a salty liquid within the soles of shoes could generate enough electricity to power many of the devices used by millions of consumers around the world. Quote, "This is more than sufficient to power such common devices as smartphones and tablets," he said. "We expect the first product prototype to be available in 1 to 2 years. However, don't start planning to charge your Kindle, or whatever you want to use, with an after-dinner walk around the block just yet." Lori Winkless of the UK's National Physical Laboratory says that piezoelectrical devices, again, I apologize for butchering that word, could prove to be more trouble than they are worth unless used properly. For example, thermoelectric clothing may be able to draw energy from the body, but could leave the wearer feeling uncomfortably cold. And those saltwater shoe batteries may prove to be painful for people walking long distances. Still, even skeptics like Winkless see a promising future around the corner for these alternative energy generators.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be pretty good if you wanted something that would chill you out, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect summer wear.
Very true.
So we're figuring out how to turn the human body into a battery.
This is
doesn't remind
familiar.
You any of movies that anybody's ever
not
seen.
At all. Not at all. Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope.
Hey, Copper Top.
Nope. Nope. Moving on. Moving on.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
Okay, our next story comes from Wired, and it's city camouflage, and not really like for camouflaging an entire city. It's kind of a neat idea. It's got basically two ideas for it. It's taking large, really well-detailed printings and putting them onto structures that are considered eyesores or just aren't very descriptor or anything to begin with, like electric boxes, stuff like that. So where it would obscure things and make it just look like a nasty blob in the middle of no place, they can throw a really well-detailed picture on it that has the scene directly behind it. So you can have a park setting with a really ugly box where you're staring at the building across the street, and it ends up looking pretty good.
Oh, interesting.
And the other use for it is to actually fix problems where, let's say in the UK, you have a whole bunch of buildings that didn't survive all of the various wars and whatnot.
Mm.
You can actually reconstruct those buildings in these images, throw them onto a thing, and you have a view instantly of, like, 1920.
Yeah. Huh. So it's sort of like when people are dealing with like the augmented reality Minecraft stuff, but without having to spend hours and hours mining out the bricks.
Right. It's augmented real reality without the digital, sort of. But yeah, it's all credited to a guy named Roland Autumn, and he's pioneering it in Rotterdam right now.
Hmm. Sounds very promising. Cool.
Alrighty, so from making art out of your your environment to possibly to improving your art on your digital tablet. Aha!
Ah, nice.
Pulled that one
out. Ooh, I know where you're going already. I'm excited.
Oh, really?
do you?
The as you probably know, the Microsoft Corporation has also released their own form of tablets. There's the Surface.
Mm-hmm.
Not the giant table device, but the actual, like, 10-inch tablet.
And they've made been advertising the crud out of on TV.
Okay. Yeah, it comes in two varieties, RT and Pro. RT is their sort of iPad-like one, and the Pro essentially is a laptop turned into a tablet.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool, and the specs for it are not too bad. The comes in with a Core i5.
This is strictly your opinion.
Yeah. Yes. This is just specs, and this is just my opinion about it. The specs are only mildly interesting. You can read the story for the actual specs. The part that I find coolest is down here where they say that it comes built in with a Wacom digital. Wacom screen digitizer.
Ah.
So that's the same technology that works with the Cintiq and on the Wacom tablets. So
basically the gold standard of illustrators right now.
Exactly. So you can go out and buy a relatively inexpensive, relatively in quotes here, the pen edition for your tablet that will allow you to use it while you're running Photoshop or other graphic software, so it will act like a digital slate. But it's the laptop itself. Your whole computer is this thing, so you can actually take it with you. Take it to your board meeting, take it to your Scrum meeting, sit down with your friends and sketch out stuff really quick.
Okay.
But it's like...
It's not as scary as packing like a $2,000 computer and a $2,000 video screen that you can draw on all in the same backpack.
Exactly. So is it a slam dunk feature? Maybe not for everyone, but I think it's pretty darn cool. So it's got to have at least 512 layers of pressure sensitivity, and it's 10 inches big. That's kind of awesome,
cool.
I think.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Do we have an amount on this thing?
It's
You can go and check
yeah,
the
you
website.
Can check their own website. It's going to be around the same cost as a laptop.
Yeah. And we'll leave it at that.
Yes.
All right. We are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSEU Santa Clara. If you are just joining us, we are in the news portion of our show. And now it's my turn to tell you a fascinating story about a fast food robber who picks the wrong place to eat.
I'm already fascinated.
In Pontiac, Michigan, officers say a suspected robber of a suburban Detroit restaurant who apparently returned months later to get some food is under arrest after being recognized by employees.
Nice.
The Oakland County Sheriff's Department says workers at a McDonald's in Pontiac spotted the 40-year-old man Saturday in the drive-thru Sheriff's deputies responded and took the Pontiac man into custody. He was being held at the Oakland County Jail pending charges. So, yeah, you know.
You really shouldn't revisit the scene of the crime.
First off, you shouldn't rob.
Yes.
But,
let's start there.
Yeah.
Don't steal. Second.
Second, yeah. Probably not a good idea to go back to the place you robbed. I mean, I know maybe the guy really loved, like, nuggets or
whatever,
but, you know, it's probably not worth the trouble.
Just probably
pay
not.
The couple bucks for whatever.
Yeah. not the brightest.
No, not really. Not at all.
Alrighty.
Clearly won't be using any of the things that we mentioned, probably.
Probably not.
Early on in the show.
Right on. So, what's next? Do you have one, Jason?
Yeah, I'll have another story from Wired by Joseph Flaherty. He's talking about a new type of 3D printing device. Most of them right now are basically built off of the same basic tech as a normal printer. It has something that moves around in a very flat sort of way, and it ends up moving the entire casing of it upward as they go. Well, they're going back to the golden age of 1980s Swiss chocolate making and trying a completely different technique of having the entire thing on three arms. So you can make a much bigger stand that ends up moving the entire thing kind of like, it ends up looking more like an assembly line sort of thing. And it's kind of a neat technology. It's called the Delta Maker. It uses, instead of trying to thicken any sort of gel material or anything like that, it actually feeds a filament through the entire process. And by combining the different filaments together, it ends up hardening automatically.
Huh.
So it has three arms moving in basically a circular pattern to create whatever 3D objects. And so it ends up being something that you can make very large items out of compared to the normal stuff, because you're not limited to a small box. You can have a superstructure and then just have the arms hanging down from the superstructure. So more interesting tech and different ways of doing things.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty nuts. But so it was nicely into my story, because it's about things that are larger than they would first appear.
Nice.
Siemens is working.
Wait, what's that?
Siemens, they're a technology research firm from Europe.
Okay.
Has been working on a working on the idea of offshore wind power.
Okay.
The German company makes the turbines that do this, and since they're offshore, they can be much larger, which makes better use of the amount of wind that comes in from the offshore breezes. How much bigger, you might ask? Well, currently the blades are 60 meters long. Although Siemens does hope to be moving up to 75-meter blades in the relatively near future.
Yeah, they actually have, like, fields and fields, well, as much as you can call open water fields, but of the 60-some-meter ones. And it's pretty impressive. You can actually watch live feeds of these things functioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you convert that into American?
Convert it into American. Yes. 60 meters is roughly
I do it for the audience.
Yeah.
For the audience.
It's roughly 118 yards long.
Can you convert that into American? I'm kidding.
Any more American, it'll be football fields.
Just the jokes. But now you talk. Now you talk. Nice.
So yeah, offshore power could be a nice alternate, not so much a full substitute, but a nice addition to the other renewable sources that we're working on. So
no,
making it more efficient and better is pretty awesome.
Definitely. I concur. Alrighty, I think that's going to wrap up our news portion of the show. We're going to take another quick little break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. Would you like to tease the folks of what tonight's corner is going to be about?
Well, let's just say it's going to be Prime.
Ooh, all right. I'm already intrigued. All righty, you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound, the one and only geek-centric talk show. We will be right back.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Yes, everyone, that means it is time for me to find something that I find fascinating. And today, I said it was going to be Prime, and it's very, very, very Prime. It is, thus far, the largest Prime number ever.
Ooh.
Yes, this number is 17,425,170 digits long.
Whoa.
Yes. This new Prime is the largest to date, and it grossly outweighs the previous one found in 2008, which was a mere 12,978,189 digits long.
I wish you all could see my face. I mean, I used to be a math major, so I'm like, my brain is just exploding.
Yes, this is a very, very, very big number. If you want to know its name, it is 2 raised to the power of 5,000, 57,000, correction. I can't read numbers correctly right now.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's 2 to the power of 57,885,161 minus 1.
Wow.
So did they have like computers working for months and months trying to figure that all out, or how'd that work out?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because that's the next part of the story. It is part of the Curtis Cooper, which is, discovered by University of Central Missouri mathematician Curtis Cooper, who is part of a giant volunteer project. So it's just sort of like SETI at home, but for prime numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was one of those things that everybody had their PS3s working on.
Their PS3, or if they have the... It tallied correctly, programmed correctly for their graphics card, having that running. It's just, you know, spare cycles used to find abnormally large numbers or analyzing data for possible sentience outside of planet Earth.
So not one lonely guy with an abacus.
No, was not one lonely person with an abacus. Thank goodness that person would probably be going insane right now. The network that did this is called the Great Internet Mersenne Prime Search, or GIMPS, G-I-M-P-S. And it's currently at about 360,000 processors doing roughly 150 trillion calculations a second.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. While this is all well and good in theory and the number is impressive, what does it mean? In and of itself,
what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Is it the meaning of life?
No, that's 42. It's a much smaller, simpler number, thankfully enough. One of the things that these very large primes are used for is encryption schemes. The strong cryptographic keys are generated using factors of these gigantic primes. So it basically helps us make data even more unbreakable if we so choose. That's one
even more Bruce Willis.
Yes, even more Bruce Willis, and even less of Mr. Glass, which is unfortunate. But yeah, the this I got a Scientific American. It's just really cool, the idea that there's all kinds of math that you can do without really having to know how to calculate numbers that big. Your computer can do it, and you can have the satisfaction of being part of people looking for these exceptionally large and powerful numbers. So there you go. Look up GIMPS, and you'll probably find something that will give you the proper downloads for your computer. Send your spare cycles for science! For science!
Science. Nice. We always like to promote science on our show.
Indeed. I like to.
How the heck can a number that's so big still be prime? My head is still reeling.
Yeah, that's where I stopped trying to think about it for a little bit. I'm like, no, I'm not going to try and figure out how you can't make that one any smaller than the number itself. Visible by, yeah, no thank you.
Where's the abacus?
Error.
Alrighty, well, if all of that was a little bit over your head, don't worry, it's all cool, because I'm going to dumb it down for you now with some entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
Alrighty, the first story we got is the Avengers to assemble at the Oscars.
Woo-hoo!
This story from IGN. One. Hulk present. Marvel's Avengers castmates Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Samuel L. Jackson, Jeremy Renner, and Mark Ruffalo will reunite on the Oscar stage to present this year, the Academy Award announced.
And so many of us swoon.
Hey, where's...
Except me.
Yeah, where's Scarlett Johansson? Quote, "We are happy to reunite the Avengers cast to present on our show," said show producers Craig Zidane and Neil Miron. Audiences who enjoyed the year's biggest box office hit will be excited to see these terrific actors back together again. The 85th Annual Academy Awards airs on Sunday, February 24th. Alrighty, now to some sad news. Star Wars creature makeup whiz Stuart Freeborn dies.
Tear.
Stuart Freeborn, the makeup and creature effects whiz who contributed to some of Star Wars' most famous characters, has passed away at the age of 98. Man, it's a few more years and he could have been in triple digits. Freeborn created Chewbacca for Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, while he and his team designed and built some of the most famous inhabitants of Mos Eisley Cantina, including Greedo, Walrus Man, and Snaggletooth. For Star Wars Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back, Freeborn based Yoda's continents on his own face and also worked on the Wampa creature and the Tauntauns. Freeborn and his UK-based team built Jabba the Hutt and many of the Ewoks for Star Wars Episode VI, Return of the Jedi. Quote, "Stuart was already a makeup legend when he started on Star Wars," said George Lucas in a statement posted at StarWars.com. "He brought with him not only decades of experience, but boundless creative energy. His artistry and craftsmanship will live on forever in the characters he created. His Star Wars creatures may be reinterpreted in new forms by new generations, but at their heart, they continue to be what Stewart created for the original films." Freeborn's other notable credits during his long film career include 2001 A Space Odyssey's Dawn of Man sequence, Peter Sellers' many characters in Doctor Strangelove, the Superman quadrilogy, The Omen, The Great Muppet Caper, Top Secret, and The Bridge Over the River Kwai. So, busy man, sad to hear of his passing, but thank you for all the cool things you made, good sir.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Then we have, moving on to, Hitman film franchise rebooted by Fox. Fox International Productions, according to Deadline, are rebooting the live-action film adaptation of 10 Interactive's Hitman, titled Agent 47, main protagonist of the Hitman franchise. Several producers attached to the movie worked on the 2007 Hitman film. Chuck Gordon, Die Hard 1 and 2, Hitman, Waterworld, Adrian Askehia, Hitman, Kanan Lynch, and Daniel Alter, Hitman, Kanan Lynch, as executive producer. Alex Young, A Good Day to Die Hard, Predators, the A-Team, is the only Agent 7 producer without a Hitman background. Fast and Furious' Paul Walker is slated to star as Agent 47, a role previously played by Timothy Oliphant in the 2007 Hitman movie.
I already prefer Oliphant.
Yeah. The Hitman movie grossed $100 million worldwide and has a Metacritic score of 35. So if you're excited about that. There you go.
And, enjoy.
Yeah. And lastly, at the DICE Awards, J.J. Abrams, Gabe Newell, partnering for game and movies. According to IGN, Gabe Newell and J.J. Abrams announced at the DICE Summit today that they are looking to partner on games and movies moving forward. The announcement came during a talk on storytelling across platforms, in which the pair analyzed differences between storytelling in TV and film versus video games. As the talk concluded, the duo revealed that they wanted this to become, quote, more than talks. And Abrams says he has an idea for a game and seeks to partner with Valve. Newell added that the pair will also figure out if they can collaborate on potential Portal and Half-Life films moving forward. So, J.J. Abrams is going to be an extremely busy man for, like, ever now.
Yeah, seriously. And hopefully he does better with these video game movies than good old...
The Bowl?
Yes.
I don't know, man. It's hard to...
It's a high bar, I realize.
There's no beating The Bowl.
The Bowl.
He's yeah, people have tried, and he punches them right back.
Very true. There's more to the article. I'll post it on our Facebook page if you'd like to check it out, as long as blah, 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 along with the other stories I mentioned.
See, I want to know what video games J.J. Abrams plays that got him interested in
read
this.
The article, and you might find out. The more you know. All right, that's been some quick entertainment news. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to come back with that Radio Flag interview from some of the cast of Identity Thief that I teased earlier on in the show, so you want to stick around for that. We are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
This February, Santa Clara University's SCU presents an Arts for Social Justice will support and raise awareness for 1 Billion Rising, a global movement to end violence against women and girls. From February 7th through the 10th in the Louis B. Mayer Theater, Images, a kaleidoscope of dance and movement will be presented by the Department of Theater and Dance. For more information, please visit www.scupresents.org.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU. Alright, we're going to get to that interview I teased earlier for Identity Thief from Radio Flag. Just a note, neither Caleb or I participated in this interview, but we are taking part in playing it for you all, and hopefully you all enjoy it, and this might become something that happens every once in a while on the show. So, you know, definitely let us know if you liked it, interested in it, and all that jazz. So
we appreciate your feedback.
Yes, yep. We do.
Want to tell them real quick how they can do that?
That's right. You can hit us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. You can find us on Twitter, Robots Attack Me. Or you can email us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And to find links to all of that and to past episodes and show notes, you can find that on robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, without further ado, here is that pre-recorded interview with some of the cast of Identity Thief from Radio Flag. Hopefully this works well and everything. Alright, here we go.
From Radio Flag, bringing you another exclusive interview for College Radio with the cast and crew of Identity Thief, starring Jason Bateman, bridesmaid star Melissa McCarthy, Amanda Pete, rapper T.I., Genesis Rodriguez, Morris Chestnut, and many others. The film is directed by Horrible Bosses director Seth Gordon and written by Hangover writer Craig Mazin. We had the opportunity to sit down with the cast and crew at a West Hollywood hotel and ask them a few questions. Seth, your films have a candid approach to find humor in everyday life situations. Why do they resonate with so many people, especially with a touchy subject such as identity theft?
I think unintentionally I gravitate towards concepts and topics that hit or something real that we can relate to. I think everyone's had a boss that they hate, and everyone knows somebody who's had a victim of identity theft. I think all of us have gotten that phone call from a credit card company about an unexpected charge, or at least most people I know have had that. And obviously the elaborate identity theft is a nefarious line of work for those who do it. We were doing a film about cybercrime, and that led us towards stories about identity thieves and individual victims. And I found that world and what drives the people who are criminals in it very compelling and really interesting. And I do think it is a touchy topic, and we tried to handle it in a way that was educational for those who didn't know it previously, but allowed us also to enjoy it as a comedy. But it was something we were very sensitive to along the way, and I think that's what gives it potency, is that kind of energy that underscores it is very, very real.
Melissa, your character does some horrible things, but yet the audience is pulling for you all the way. How do you balance that line to make us cheer for you when your character is not that nice?
Well, you know, I think that's a testament to the good script and Craig Mazin writing a fully developed person. I think what was interesting about the character to me, and I wanted to make sure that she wasn't just kind of a one-dimensional, you know, mustache-twirling villain, because I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting for a scene, but I don't know how you play that for a whole movie. And I love the thought of someone doing criminal acts but not doing them to be menacing. She does them kind of, I think, because she's lonely and doesn't have anyone. So it's like she kind of steals identities just so she can go out to a store and kind of pretend to have these lives, pretend to have a husband, pretend to have a family, pretend to be engaged. Like, we did so many versions of that at different mall scenes, and I think that to me is what really locked me into her, that I was like, she's not even stealing from people to be menacing. She's just so lonely. And I thought from there, you can find, if I felt like I found the heart of her and something interesting that made her tick. So hopefully that's other people kind of see that too.
Jason, I know originally you had written the part for Melissa to be a male lead actor. At what point did you decide that it was better for you to have a female play her role? And when did you decide that Melissa was the right person for that role?
Yeah, it was just Melissa. It was the script was just sort of sitting there for a couple of months. And I went to the premiere of Bridesmaids. And the following morning, picked up the phone and called Universal one of the other producers on the film, Scott Stuber, and I said, you know, I would really like to work with this woman. Can we please change the thief from a guy to a girl and make it Melissa? And they could not have liked the idea better, and they said, well, why don't you see if you can go get her? And fortunately, this was the premiere. It was not yet, you know, in America's hands, so we still had a chance at her. So I took her out to a quick meal and had her sign something while she was passed out from the booze. Yeah.
This question is for T.I. Did comedy come easy for you, and how do you feel that your music fans are reacting to your acting and the roles that you decide to take on?
I really, you know, I don't. I try not to cross collateralize, you know, the worlds, and if I can separate them, I will. You know, I can't answer that question as far as, you know, the question of how I feel my fans are accepting my roles. I think that if they don't like it, they will be very vocal. And since I have not heard an outcry as of yet, I think that, you know, that you know, people are accepting the choices that I'm making and agreeing. I know the Boss, you know, that my character on the second season of Boss was received very well, and so was Takers, and so was ATL, American Gangster, and hopefully this will fall right in line with the rest of, you know, the things that are to come. Comedy, yeah, it was a refreshing stretch to be able to do something different, because I guess people just, you know, they assume that I'm just this straight-faced, hardcore, you know, criminal, which I am not anymore. So, you know, the comedy, man, it was just, I like shocking people. I enjoy taking advantage of the opportunity to surprise people when they only thought I could do this, and now, you know, they're pleasantly surprised with, you know, something different. So I welcome that opportunity, and I appreciate it.
What are your plans to elevate Grand Hustle this year, your record label?
I mean, man, you know what we're going to do is we're gonna continue to work on, we're going to put out another single for Trouble Man, which is the Hello record featuring CeeLo. We're going to also introduce new artists to the world. We're going to continue to work on, develop the artists that we already have, like OMG and... you know, and just continue to build. You know, that's what we're about, creating opportunities and taking advantage, maximizing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the exclusive interview with the cast and crew of Identity Thief. Stay tuned to RadioFlag.com, where we will be bringing in more exclusive interviews for College Radio. Flag on. Hello, hello, hello. Push that pedal to.
All right, there you had it. That was a exclusive pre-recorded interview from Radio Flag with some of the cast members of Identity Thief. You know, Jason Bateman, Teen Wolf 2, represent.
sweet.
So, yeah, let us know what you thought of that. It might become, you know, a semi-regular thing on our show, having some of these interviews and for various movies and whatnot. So let us know if you thought that was interesting or and all that jazz. And you know what? I'll just have Caleb quickly tell you how you can do that again, just in case you forget, because I know me, I forget stuff.
That's
really
right.
Fast,
well, let's start with our Facebook account, Facebook page. You just do a search for search for Facebook.
Search
if you
Facebook.
Can't find Facebook, you have other problems. no, seriously.
Hey, now be nice.
I'm sorry. I kid. No, your bigger problem being you probably don't have internet if you can't find Facebook. That's anyways. The do a search on Facebook for Robots Attack, two words, and then we should be near the top of that search. If you like us, we're almost enough to get a stable page name, so that would be kind
of
cool.
A page of our very own.
Our very own. I'll be a real page then. And then
right now we're very unstable.
Yeah. Or if you prefer Twitter, our handle is Robots Attack Me. And if you want to email us, we are at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you want to just, you know, find one place for all of that information, that is robotsattack.me. It has links on the interact page to our email, our Facebook, and to our Twitter. And we also have our archive episodes and show notes on that page as well. Enjoy. And please, we do want to hear from you. And if you are listening to us live and you interact with us while we are talking, we will interact with you on the air.
Yeah, we've got all the pages up and everything like that. Obviously, if you're driving or operating heavy machinery or operating on someone or something like that, you know, wait.
Just,
you can reply later.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate, you know, you thinking about us, but it's
safety
better.
Safety first.
Priorities.
Yeah, exactly.
Priorities.
Alrighty. Let's take another quick little music break, and then we will come back with the core, where we're going to discuss some rumors about some standalone Star Wars films, what we think about it, what we think should be made, shouldn't be made, all of that jazz. So, yes, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KACU Santa Clara. And before we get out, one little quick PSA.
Are you interested in free radio time? KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic@kscu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
You are now entering the core. Say.
That's right. Welcome to the core on Robots Attack. Okay, so we're going to be discussing some the news about the rumors of possible spin-off Star Wars films.
News of rumors of yeah. Newsing rumors of rumorness.
I mean,
Which is the source, most fun type of news, really.
But. Yeah, the source from Entertainment Weekly, so it's not just some person, like, you know.
That's true.
Blogging, blogging about it, so. Yeah.
Some validity to these rumors.
And Disney seems to be going pretty gung-ho about, like, let's use this really, you know, money, all the money we spent on buying, purchasing the franchise, let's go make some movies now.
So do something with it.
Yeah. So
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
It's not like Star Wars makes money. Oh, wait.
Not really.
It basically prints it itself.
So, yeah, the big rumors are, like, focusing on Han Solo, particularly like a younger Han Solo, mm-hmm. and Boba Fett. So I guess maybe the first question is, are those films that we'd want to see?
I would like to see a Boba Fett movie. I think that could be kind of awesome. Like, you know, the catch to that one would be finding a way to keep his helmet on, because the moment he takes the helmet off, the mystery is revealed, and it's like, I don't care so much anymore. It's a guy in a suit. The armor was the cooler part of the character anyway.
Yeah.
I'll reference the Dread movie, and that worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, depending upon, I guess, timeline and everything, I mean, technically, we've already seen what he looks like with the mask off. A la Django, since he's a clone of him. So we already kind of know, like, what...
That's canon, isn't it? I'm forgetting that. I tried to purge that from my memory.
We already know what he looks like. I mean, obviously, he could have some different scars or this and that from whatever he's gone through, but we already kind of know essentially what he looks like.
That's
so.
A good point.
Right, yeah. I mean, the thing that I sort of wonder about the most is if they're going to make all of the fanboys who were into all of the different little books and comics. Little books and comics.
Quote unquote.
I apologize.
Star Wars Golden Book. Django Fett was very sad.
Since a lot of these have already been fleshed out, I just wonder if they're going to depart from that completely, or if it's going to end up staying as loyal as possible. And I mean, one way or another, you're going to make somebody angry, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the real question. Is like, are they going to go expanded universe, or are they going to stick with, like, the Lucas-approved canon? Like,
yeah. And then how they go about the character. I mean, are they going to make a movie where he's the main hero, quote-unquote, of the movie is a neutral character? Like,
I
vote, you know,
like Christmas specials, where it's the character's really young.
Singing and
right. I mean, Ewoks have already been done, but you could make new alien Ewoks and so on.
I mean, it is Disney, so they could just run into a Disney world and they run into, you know, a Mickey Mouse Jedi.
Oh no.
Oh geez. Kingdom Hearts with Star Wars characters, anybody?
So now we're talking about movies we wouldn't want to see, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm not sure I want to see
Han Solo and Jack Sparrow.
So that's
Captain by Mickey.
So should Johnny Depp play Han Solo so he can, you know, he's like everyone in the movie?
I would actually pay to see that.
that'd be an interesting turn. Yeah.
It'll be like Norbit Star Wars style or something.
Yeah. We all know how well Norbit did.
Mm. I don't think I even heard of that one.
Oh, man.
It's probably best you didn't.
Yeah.
We'll move on from there.
Let's move on to things we actually want to see.
Norbit, that's some of my A material right there.
Oh, it's quite good. I'm sure there's at least one person in their car laughing extremely loud. Going, ah, Norbit. It was a good one, Super Jason. That was a good one. That's why I like it when you're on the show. Norbit jokes.
I got more of them.
All right.
Woo! The one of the things that I thought would be cool is, like, there was two anthologies, the word I'm looking for, of, you know, they called them tales, like Tales from Mos Eisley Cantina and Tales, and they're just like Star Wars Tales. And I think those stories, I think, would be kind of cool, like possibly like movie things if they could expand them well enough, like with good characters. Because like the universe is like a very big playground, and a lot of people have been playing in it and making some very awesome sandcastles and other play structures. So I think it'd be cool to kind of highlight some of the amazing work that these authors have done.
They do mention in the article that Timothy Zahn's Scoundrel novels, which focus on Han between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, will not be the basis for proposed solo films. So,
okay.
But something that I didn't even think about, they do mention in this that depending upon when they take place, they would actually have the possibility of having appearances by Darth Vader, Jabba the Hutt, like some of the characters who, spoilers, no longer exist in some of their certain forms.
Yeah.
So it would be a chance to actually have Darth Vader again in a Star Wars movie.
That would not be too bad.
So it's just something they mentioned. I didn't think of that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if James Earl Jones wants to
do the
voice it
again,
but that'd be cool.
Definitely. I would go see that movie.
Yeah, at this point, I'm sure they can just auto-tune practically anybody and make them into James Earl Jones, unfortunately.
But it wouldn't be right.
You know.
Oh, honor has nothing to do with it. It's possible.
This is about profits, people.
True. But we're discussing what we want.
Yes.
And that I do not want.
No. If we're going to do that, let's get Mr. Jones into the recording booth.
So he can go, no.
Exactly.
Again.
Yes.
No.
It's going to be like the that panel that they had at... it's going to be like that panel that they had at Comic-Con, where they have the little girl voice who was being Darth Vader.
I want them alive.
Yes, the Emerald City Comic Con voice actors.
Emerald City.
That was awesome video. I'll have to link that one.
It was very cool. Spend the 2 hours that it's online and watch it. It is fantastic fun.
Yes, especially if you watch 90s cartoons. There are so many voices from there brought back to life. It's beautiful.
Speaking of something fun and exciting, if you want to get your hands dirty, need something to do, or want to find a new hobby, out and away from the indoors, looking to spend a few moments making something beautiful.
And how?
On Mondays and Thursdays from 2 to 5 p.m., drop by and volunteer at SCU's Educational Garden, The Forge, located on the corner of Benton and Sherman Street. Get in touch with food, the outdoors, and great people, open to all community members at the indicated times. You can contact the forge at broncourbangardens.org.
Confusingly yet boldly named.
Yes. So I know there was some people mentioning about having a Yoda standalone film. Is that something that you'd want to see?
That could be interesting, because there's a lot about Yoda that has not been thoroughly explored yet. That could be kind of cool.
I think Yoda needs to stay as much with what they have as possible. I think they kind of went the only cool place that they could have with the most recent movies, which is seeing him actually throw down. So I don't really want to see anything more than that.
Fair point.
That's it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for the mysterious master that you don't know his backstory.
Okay. Yeah.
True.
Definitely. One thing I think it would be kind of cool would be to do X-Wing. There's a book series called X-Wing, which follows Wedge Antilles' strike force of...
Of Rogues?
Yeah. Oh, no. Rogue Squadron. That was it. That's the name of the book series. Rogue Squadron. Thank you. I think those would make...
I don't know what I did.
You reminded me that it was called Rogue Squadron. I think those could make some pretty cool movies, kind of bring back some of the high adventure, old school, feel of the original trilogy.
Space fighting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I kind of like the idea of turning a side character into a little bit bigger character that people could be interested in. I think that's cool.
Yeah, plus Rogue Squadron was also they were sort of like the Green Berets or the Navy SEALs of the Rebellion. They were given the missions that were not as well, that they didn't, that were kind of, well, how are you going to make this work? We'll figure it out kind of thing. It was... It, I like the stories were pretty well written, I thought. And
we'll do it as roguishly as possible.
Dun, 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 dun. Who would you want to play Wedge Antilles?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Gene Hackman.
All right. Okay.
I think he's a little past his prime for that role. Not quite the
they
commando
can CG
type.
Him.
Yeah, that works so well in the most recent trilogy.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah. Who would we cast for some of these?
I mean, that's the big thing about the if they end up doing that young Han one,
mm-hmm.
the big buzz of who will play such an iconic character.
Yeah.
All that pressure on their shoulders.
Yeah, I think that's one reason why I kind of would like to be not one of the core characters, because then it can be anybody, and they can just do a good performance and not worry about the fact that they're going to be being compared to young Harrison Ford for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I think, because there's plenty. Can you think of any other, try to think of some cool side characters that would be.
I don't know why, but I'm tempted to say Wedge Antilles would be kind of cool as Dylan McDermott for some reason. I think he might kind of have that cool factor.
Not Dermot Mulroney?
Well, equally as awesome, but not what I was thinking.
SNL joke, probably one person laughed at that in their car. They did a skit
mm-hmm.
where it was like, who is this? Dermot Mulroney or Dylan McDermott. And they actually had Dermot Mulroney like come on, and he thought he was the other guy.
Dylan McDermott?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's kind of clever.
But anyway, back to Star Wars.
Carl Urban maybe could do the role.
Okay.
Yeah, I could definitely see him up for something, even mm-hmm. if it wasn't Wedge. He'd be in Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Heck, he's in everything these days.
It's true.
He's busy. Let's see. What other side characters would I like to see kind of lifted up? I even think doing like IG-88, like one, like following one of the bounty hunter, like a bounty hunter robot. What is that? What is that like? I think it'd be kind of interesting, or maybe like as a side character, one of these would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I could definitely see him as like the sidekick of somebody. I don't know about a full fledged movie.
Who
knows?
I would love to see a movie that followed Ahsoka. From the Clone Wars.
But she TV dies. Show?
Does she?
So,
oh,
I
no,
don't know.
I didn't know.
I'm making that up. I don't know if she does, but since she's not in any of the movies, I'm guessing that she dies, but who knows?
Somebody out there knows.
Maybe it'll be...
Contact us.
We'll find out when the cartoon's over with, and if she hid away and mm-hmm. survived
we'll have the episode where half
the massive slaughter
get
of...
Off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that didn't... Can't do that one. You have to do that one.
Yeah.
The big bow episode.
But that does bring up a point, like, would we want to see standalones on Jedi characters, or would we prefer non-Force-using characters? Like, because I always like in the video games mm-hmm. when you don't, like, when it focuses on the non-Force stuff, but that's just me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd definitely be down for some... main characters that don't use the Force, but...
Or even just, like, Force incompetence. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of either one of those.
Yeah. They did sort of an interesting thing in the Rogue Squadron. One of the guys in there turned out to be...
Is that Rogue Squadron again? Man, I love that so much. Why don't you marry it?
One of the characters on there actually ended up being a Jedi, and that was kind of an interesting kind of twist on the whole thing, I thought. Or Jedi. I think doing a Jedi character wouldn't be so bad. It just would be kind of, they'd have to make sure they were very different from, you know, Luke and...
Yeah.
Not a Skywalker. I want to... if we do another Force user, not a Skywalker.
Possibly a Landstander.
or a ground runner.
Oh boy.
No, just yeah, because the Force is pretty big. It's got there's got to be more people that have been using the Force.
Yeah.
Besides, they have a very whiny family.
Yeah. Yes. That wouldn't be so bad to get away from that for a while.
Yeah. But yeah, sort of going back to Super Jason's point, it's so far we've only really seen like the super high end spectrum of people who use the Force. So it would be interesting to see the lower end,
the newbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Non Padawan, but just someone that's not like, I can do all of these things, and yet in certain situations, why aren't you doing that? Like,
let me move a planet with my mind.
A level one Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe level five, you know, still new.
But yeah.
And I think that's what was kind of fun about the very first Star Wars movie, too, is
yeah,
it was unfamiliar and it was a bunch of discovery and whatnot. And I don't know if there's really room for that. I don't know if people have such high expectations now that it would make it unpopular. I know I'd love it, but yeah, I don't know what the general population is going to feel about something like that.
Because I'm sure people definitely want to see more cool lightsaber battles. Because yeah, those were definitely highlights in the prequel movies.
Well, and maybe like there'd be a Jedi character, but maybe they're not the main character, so it's like they're not the carrying the weight of the film.
Yeah.
The Gandalf character.
Yeah, yeah. Shows up, does his cool thing, rides off again, comes back, does his cool thing, rides off again.
Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah,
I sort of like the idea of it, like having sort of a mock lightsaber fight. Like having a character that doesn't have a lightsaber but has some Force abilities and is forced to figure out like little Jackie Chan maneuvers to be able to get through stuff alive. I think that could turn out really cool.
Yeah.
Parkour, right? That'd be pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah. More creative use of the abilities that have been established in the stories, I think would be kind of cool seeing. What, like, because in the RPG they had the Force Adept, which is not a Jedi, but they had Force abilities.
Yeah.
And I think that something like having someone that would be like that would be very cool. Definitely more bounty hunters wouldn't be bad.
I could see your first love, the Rogue Squadron thing, as even a like a TV series, really.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. Maybe not so, excuse me, dark as Battlestar Galactica, but you know, sort of along those lines. Since
That actually could
that had a heavy fighter pilot kind of element to it and stuff. And
yeah, that could work. I would definitely tune in to see that. I might even consider like getting an antenna to catch network television to watch that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Any other ideas pop out in the last remaining minutes that we have?
See.
Stormtrooper zombies. There was a book. There was seriously a book.
I believe it.
We'll put zombies in anything. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah. Well, Dark Forces was sort of turned out to be sort of like that in a way.
Okay.
Actually, there was
Dark Forces the movie wouldn't be so bad.
There was a book I didn't read it, but I just sort of got, you know, the gist of it, and it was sort of the story of the Millennium Falcon and how it came to be in Han Solo's hands. I guess even before him, obviously it was in Lando's hands, but how it got to be there and just how it got, you know, from one place to another. And that sounded like that could be an interesting story, but I don't know how that would do as a movie adaptation.
A movie.
Yeah. This sounds like something that would be like a good like mini series or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be kind of cool. Just as long as it isn't, because like when you have an inanimate object that is your sort of central character, it gets a little weird at times.
Well, I've actually seen a whole bunch of like indie movies where they've done the same idea and they've turned out really good. It would never be like a flagship movie or something like that, but I can definitely see it being something that's like a filler in between things or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since we do have someone from the female persuasion here, I'd like to ask, would you like to see more prominent female leads in these next Star Wars movies? Since
if they can do it right, yeah, I think that would be interesting. I mean, you know, I'm sort of a Joss Whedon fan, the way that he handles his strong female characters. Yeah. I feel like I should have more to say on the subject, but I kind of don't.
I think most geeks would like more strong female characters. Not just geek girls.
Yeah.
And I mean, I personally do like the eccentric, and, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why I mentioned Ahsoka earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She's this eccentric, spunky, you know, strong-willed female character that I would love to see more of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so if, like I said, if they do it right, that would be really good. But having female characters for the sake of having female characters is, you know, meh.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, it's a series that, if you look at it, I mean, while Princess Leia is a super strong female lead, and especially, you know, when the movie first premiered and everything, mm-hmm. to have such a strong female character, but kind of since then.
It's kind of awesome thinking back, like her basically just bossing people around, like,
yeah.
Like it's no big deal. It was a little bit out of the ordinary.
Yeah. But then if you look at this series as a whole, it's like,
yeah, there's all of like
mostly
three.
Guys. So mm-hmm. it will be a little interesting if they make one of the more main characters a female for the episode 7 or 8 or 9 or, you know, whatever they do.
Would not be unwelcome to see a few more characters. Like Mon Mothma was interesting, but she was always a statesperson. So it's like you never really see them in the front lines doing anything. Although, you know, they're doing very interesting stuff in the back, you know, keeping the legislation and the whole galaxy running. But still,
you just wanted to say Mon Mothma, didn't you? Just be honest.
Well,
any
it
opportunity
is a very
you
cool
can
name.
To say Mon Mothma, you
the opportunity does not arise very often. I gotta,
it's true.
Gotta get it in while I can.
It's very true. All right. Well, I think that was a decent discussion on the on the future. It sounds like we are up for standalone Star Wars films, as
mm-hmm.
obviously, as long as they do them right.
That's the key.
Yeah.
And how much CG is in this is also going to play a part too, I think.
Farming it out to Uwe Boll is probably not high on on our list, right?
I would watch that, actually.
And we have to wait for Johnny Depp to appear, so.
Yeah.
As one of the strong female leads.
Well, if anyone can do it, Johnny Depp can. He is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty handy with the eyeliner.
He can play anything. I mean, I will give you a quote. This is a quote from an old roommate's friend from college who said, if I needed a strong Southern black woman, I'd get Johnny Depp. So
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, and I did see a retweet that someone put of when they mentioned like the young Han Solo possibly being the movie. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, now we'll get to see the adventures of Han Solo between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Think about that for a moment. Here's your movie.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. There's your movie. He's in Carbonite, people, for those who don't know. So yeah.
To me, it's sort of like the Millennium Falcon plot all over again.
He's dumped out of an airlock, has been picked up by scavengers, fought over.
Lutini.
Yeah. So, yeah. There
Jawas, the movie.
There you go. That'd be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Let me throw in some Jawas. Some more Jawas will always make things good.
I'm imagining a movie kind of like WALL-E where there's very little dialogue.
That could work.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
Yeah, it could be a Jawa following a droid and their misadventures. And
mm-hmm.
I think you're onto something, Jen.
Yeah.
So Disney, if you're out there listening, contact us and get those ideas from Jen. And
mm-hmm. We
probably
brainstorm.
Won't pay anything, but maybe they'll put you in the credits or
Yay,
something.
Credits.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't speak for Disney, so I probably shouldn't. I'll get sued or something.
Yeah.
So.
But it's fun trying.
So. Yeah.
It's interesting mental exercise.
It's true. Alrighty, that's going to wrap us up on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU. We're here every Thursdays from 7 to 9-ish. We hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm going to have Caleb tell you how you can contact us, participate in the show, and all that jazz, because remember, we like it when you do. So please let us know. And, you know, give us feedback as well, things you liked, you didn't like. And during the core portion of the show, we have various topics. If there's something you'd like us to discuss, please feel free to give us some ideas. We'll look them over and definitely consider them.
Definitely, yeah. And if you want to leave a comment on our Facebook page or send us a message there, you can. On Facebook, you do a search for Robots Attack. Or if you want to hit us up on Twitter, our handle is RobotsAttackMe. Our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the amalgamation of all of this information can be found on robotsattack.me. Plus, you can find links to all the stories we've covered, show notes, past episodes, and all sorts of other good things. And the interact button will give you links to all of the social goodness and the ways to contact us.
Yes, and stay tuned for we're working on a redesign of the site and other new surprises coming later on that will definitely fill you in. But again,
and old surprises too.
Sure.
Why not?
You and your Norbit jokes. I should have expected you'd say something like that. Do you have another Norbit joke you'd like to throw in before we get out?
No, I figure I'd better save some.
Okay, probably a good idea. Don't want to waste all your Norbit juice in one sitting.
Definitely.
Anyway, I think we'll end on that note. On behalf of myself, Joe, and Caleb,
Yo.
Super Jason, Jen, we thank you for listening to Robots Attack. And again, we will be back next Thursday on Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll think of some special Valentine's episode, or we'll just do it regular since it's a made-up holiday anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Hallmark made this holiday. Thank you.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. We are out.
Raccoon. Veronica. Nicto.